Invite you to open your Bibles to the first chapter in the Scriptures, Genesis chapter 1. We'll be continuing our sermon series this morning on critical race theory, and we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to the end of the chapter. Let's give our attention now to the reading of God's holy and infallible Word. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Let's come before our God in prayer. Lord God, You are the Lord. You are the maker of the heavens and the earth. You are the one who has fashioned the galaxies, and You are the one who has fashioned each one of us here in this room this morning. You are not only the creator of the ends of the earth, but You are the sustainer and the ruler of all things. You are King. You're God. And Lord, we sense this morning our need of You and our dependence upon You as creatures and as sinners. We need Your help in this hour. We need You to pour out Your Spirit upon us. We need You to open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Your Word. Please, God, do not leave us to ourselves in these moments. We recognize that we are about to handle things that in our current moments are extremely divisive. And we pray, oh God, that You would give us wisdom. We cry out to You for wisdom and understanding, and we look nowhere but to Your Word. Thank You, God, for speaking to us. Thank You for not leaving us to ourselves. Thank You for giving us Bibles in a language that we can understand. Thank You for the preaching of the Word. What a gift, God. What a gift that You, by Your Holy Spirit, speak to us through the lips of men. And we pray this morning that You would speak, that You would speak loud and clear, and that You would give every one of us in this room ears to hear. I pray this morning, Lord, for those who are without Christ in this room, that You would open their eyes to see His glory and His goodness in the gospel. That You would open their eyes to see that only He can make sense of life and of the world. Lord, turn people this morning from darkness to light, and cause us all to see Your glory in the face of our Savior. It's in His name that we pray these things. Amen. If you were to take a stroll through our neighborhood out here, you wouldn't be able to walk a block without encountering signs. Signs with a simple three-word statement: Black Lives Matter. It's hard to remember a world without these signs. But these signs are actually a relatively recent phenomenon. Back in February of 2012, a teenager named Trevon Martin was tragically shot and killed in a Florida neighborhood. Trevon was quote-unquote black, and his shooter was white. And this death became the source of incredible racial tension, especially after George Zimmerman, the shooter, was acquitted. It resulted in the hashtag Black Lives Matter beginning to circulate around social media. And what began as a hashtag within the course of a couple years became a multi-billion dollar organization. Riots filled the streets of our cities. Revolution in the pursuit of racial justice, founded upon the basic assertion that black lives matter. What are we to make of this assertion as Christians? How are we to think of these things? Do black lives matter? The answer may be more complex than initially meets the eye. It requires us to think deeply about the biblical doctrine of humanity. We've seen in the last couple of weeks that critical race theory has a certain doctrine of God, atheism. It has a certain doctrine of justice, the socialistic redistribution of power and wealth. And now we turn to the doctrine of man. Critical race theory begins with a divided humanity, a humanity that is broken up into camps according to the pigmentation of their skin. Blackness and whiteness are the fundamental categories of human identity. In fact, for advocates of this theory, they are the most fundamental categories of human identity. As we grapple with this, a number of questions arise. The first of them being this: are blackness and whiteness realities? Are they realities? As Christians, we have been too quick to embrace these categories as if they are legitimate. I want to argue this morning that there really is no such thing as a black humanity and a white humanity. Notice first that the black-white binary, this categorization of people as black and white, it is a biological fiction. What is it that makes each one of us in this room have a different skin tone? You recognize that every single person in this room, every person has a different skin tone? And what is it that brings that about? What's genetics? Our genes determine how much melanin our bodies produce. And melanin is a complex polymer that protects our skin from being damaged by the sun. The more melanin your body is able to produce, the darker your skin will be. All of us have the same melanin, and it's actually essentially a brown color. The difference is in the amount that our bodies produce. In other words, all of us are different shades of brown. Strictly speaking, there are no white people or black people. There's somewhere around 20 genes that determine how much melanin our bodies produce. Geneticists have found that the variation in genes between so-called black people and white people is a mere 0.012%. That's the difference genetically. 0.012%. And this has led the leading geneticists in our country. They're a part of what's called the Human Genome Project. It led them to unanimously state in 2000 this, that from a biological perspective, quote, there is only one race, the human race. Okay, these are not necessarily Christians. This is just science. This is just genetics. There's only one race, the human race. And this has been stated over and again by scientists over the past three or so decades. There is a biological and genetical basis for categorizing humans as male and female, but there is no biological basis for categorizing people as black and white. The modern conception of race is a scientific fiction. But not only is it a scientific fiction, it's also a sociological fiction. You might remember back during the election in 2020, Biden making the comments that if you voted for Trump, quote, you ain't black, as if the color of your skin could determine your political affiliation. This kind of thinking fills the media, and yet it's not rooted in reality. For example, Pew Research Center polled quote-unquote white registered voters and found this about their political positions. 35% identify as independent, 36% as Republican, and 26% as Democratic. That's hardly a unified political perspective. And the same could be said about religion. Melanin production tells us nothing about a person's beliefs or character. While there are often commonalities among ethnic groups, that's not the result of skin color, it's the result of culture. And even within ethnic groups, there's a great diversity, oftentimes enmity. There are no grounds sociologically for classifying people according to the tone of their skin. So this idea of race, it's a biological fiction, it's a sociological fiction, but most importantly, it's a biblical and theological fiction. The Bible presents us with a unified vision of humanity. Having formed a perfect world in the space of 6 days, God created humankind as the apex of His creation. You see that in verse 26 of our passage. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Nothing is more fundamental to being human than this. We are the image of God. We're created to reflect God in knowledge and righteousness and holiness. And it's true of us regardless of our skin color or our economic status or religious affiliation. The image which we bear, the image which we are, unites us by differentiating us from everything else in creation. Our image, however, our being image, does not deny diversity among us. You see that even in our text here in verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. One image, two genders. One image consisting of diverse individuals with diverse genetic makeup. Unity in diversity, diversity in unity. So here's what we need to see. CRT, critical race theory, it begins with a divided humanity, black people and white people. Christianity begins with a unified humanity. Image-bearing people that are genetically and sociologically diverse by divine design. There are not different races of humanity. The Bible stresses the fundamental unity of humanity, a unity that displays itself through diverse genders, ages, vocations, physical features, ethnicities, and on and on. God commanded our first parents in verse 28 to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And as they did, here's what would happen. The earth would be populated. It would be populated, and as it was, different cultures would form with slightly different genetic makeup. The Apostle Paul refers to this in Acts 17, verse 26, when preaching before the Areopagus. He says, "And he, God, made from one man, or it could be one blood, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth." One blood from which every nation has come. That word nation there is the Greek word ethnos. It's the word that we get our word ethnicity from. There are many ethnicities, but all from one blood. We oftentimes, especially when we're talking about missions, we speak of people groups. And depending on how you categorize ethnicities and people groups, there are somewhere between 12 to 24,000 different people groups in the world. It's quite remarkable to think about, all from one man, all from one blood. Within the singular human race, there are distinct peoples who are bound together by language, culture, geography, and or religion. The Bible often groups people according to their ethnicity. But let me ask you, where does the Bible ever classify people according to the color of their skin? Can you think of anywhere? Does the Bible even talk about skin tone or skin color? Can you think of anywhere? The Bible doesn't classify people according to the color of their skin. Such a notion of race as we know it today is entirely foreign to the biblical record. The concept of race, as it is held today, it is a biological fiction, it's a sociological fiction, and most importantly, it's a biblical and theological fiction. And that brings us to second question. Should Christians embrace the culture's racial categories? Now, perhaps you might be sitting there and thinking to yourself, you're familiar with critical race theory. You've read some of the books and you've thought about these things. And you're saying, okay, preacher, you've made your point, but you failed to recognize that critical race theory actually agrees with you. That critical race theory says very clearly that race is not a biological reality. They go out of their way to make that clear. That race is what they call a social construct. It's true. Robin DiAngelo, in perhaps the most popular book on CRT, she writes this. This is just one of many, many examples I could have given you. She says, "Race is an evolving social idea that was created to legitimize racial inequality and protect white advantage." In other words, white people constructed this idea of race in order to oppress black people. Well, the history of where this idea of race as we know it today came from, the history is unclear at certain points. There's certainly truth to this assertion. This is actually a point where we can say we agree with critical race theory. And it was in large measure thanks to men like Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin, in his famous work where he applied his theory of macroevolution to humans, you know what Darwin argued in that book? It's an incredibly racist book. He argued that European whites were more highly evolved and less ape-like than what he called, or who he called, Negroes. That's Darwin. Darwin was not the first to argue this, nor would he be the last. He wasn't the first to use a particular biological theory to argue that black people were less human than white people. But he was arguably the most influential. And this idea was used to justify human zoos, to justify slavery, to justify segregation in our nation. This is reason to weep, friends. But it's true. Race is a man-made, sinful idea that has been used to discriminate against and oppress people in the West for centuries. So we can agree with CRT there. But this is where it gets confusing. It gets confusing in this. Critical race theory admits that race is an impressive man-made construct. They agree with that. But then they go on to embrace this construct as one of its central tenets. The ideas of blackness and whiteness are foundational to this ideology. They say, yeah, it's a social construct, not rooted in biology, but we're going to embrace it anyways. As Christians, however, we must reject this black-white binary for the sake, first, of truth. For the sake of truth. You see, critical race theory is atheistic. It's relativistic. Social constructs might not be supported by biology or the Bible, but what does that matter? Reality is whatever the society deems it to be. Okay, that's how postmodernism works. The society says this is what reality is. Well, then this is what reality is. The Christian worldview fundamentally rejects such a notion. Man does not define reality. Society does not define reality. God defines reality. In Genesis 1, God creates and defines all things, including man. God doesn't leave it to Adam to determine his gender or to define himself or to determine his vocation. God defines the categories in which humans are to understand themselves. Image of God, male and female. And when our ideas do not accord with God's definition, they must be rejected. If the black-white binary, if this grouping of people according to the tone of their skin as black and white, if this does not accord with the Scriptures, special revelation, and if it doesn't accord with reality as we know it in science and sociology, general revelation, then is it not dishonest to live and speak and reason and accuse as if it is real? Is it not dishonest? This, I'm just increasingly convinced of this. This is a ninth commandment issue. You shall not lie. It's a ninth commandment issue. And that brings us to a second point. Christians must reject this black-white binary, not only for the sake of truth, but for the sake of justice. The Ninth Commandment, as with the whole of the Decalogue, we saw this last week, it's given for the sake of social justice. You want a just society? Here's what you need. You need people who tell the truth. It's really and not rocket science. It's quite simple. Adam and Eve would usher in a world of injustice by doing what? By embracing the serpent's lie. And to think that the injustice of racism can be brought to an end by embracing the lie that fuels racism is insane. God will not be mocked. That's one of the many reasons why critical race theory has done nothing but intensify and deepen racism in our culture. You can't obtain justice by the way of injustice. A just society will occur when people within that society cast off the divisive construct of race and begin to see people as they really are, the image of God, unified, as created by God in the likeness of God, regardless of their melanin production. Doesn't matter. Embracing the lie of race will do nothing but promote injustice, friends. And as it does, it will polarize us. We must reject the black-white binary for the sake of truth, for the sake of justice, but third, for the sake of unity. Sake of unity. The woke movement in the church has done nothing but divide God's people. It has produced nothing but angry, self-righteous Christians who are drawing lines in the sand and splitting from one another. And as you look at critical race theory as it works itself out in our wider culture than just the church, you see it's doing exactly the same thing. Are we more unified? Has Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream been more fully realized? No. It hasn't. Because CRT does the very thing that King dreamed would come to an end. It judges people according to the color of their skin rather than the content of their character. It judges people according to the social construct of race rather than the biblical realities of the image of God and the law of God. Now, in rejecting the reality of race, we need to be clear that we're not rejecting the reality of racism. Racism is real. And we're going to be looking at that more this next week. We need to define what we mean by racism, and we need to be clear on these points. We don't have time to do that here this morning. But let it be known that racism is real, and it is real just because of the anti-real construct of race. It's real because sinful men have sought to exalt themselves and oppress others because of their skin color. Injustice. That really happened in our nation, that really happened in the church, and it still happens today. Racism is a grave injustice, friends. And where we find it in our hearts and where we find it in society, we must labor to kill it. But here's what we need to come to terms with. Racism only exists because race has been embraced as a proper divider of humanity. Racism only exists because race has been embraced as a proper divider of humanity. As Christians, we must reject the black-white binary. We may rightly speak of a diversity of ethnicities, but not a diversity of races. There is one human race created in God's image for God's glory. And hence, we find ourselves in a difficult position when we come to a statement like Black Lives Matter. At best, we can put black in quotation marks and affirm the fact that those whom the society deems as black, their lives really matter. They do. But we cannot embrace the idea of blackness as if it's a reality, or whiteness, for that matter. These are anti-realities. As hard as it might be for us to come to terms with, friends, because of how influenced we have been by our culture and even by critical race theory itself, I don't think we realize how influenced we've been in our own thinking. There really are no black people. There really are no white people. And historically, this construct of blackness has been used not to say that these lives matter, but that they don't matter. That's why this idea was created. That's why it has been perpetuated from generation to generation to say they don't matter. They're less human. They're a different race from us. And that brings us to a third pressing question. Upon what basis can we say that human life matters? It is striking to me how people who embrace atheism and relativism can make such matter-of-fact, dogmatic assertions like this: black lives matter. Critical theory provides no basis for human worth. Remember, according to critical theory, there is no God. No creator speaking creation into existence. No creator ordering and defining. Humans are not the special handiwork of God. They are not the image of God. How'd we get here? Well, we don't know. Why are we here? No inherent reason. Why should humans be deemed more valuable than ants or fried rice? Well, because society deems them such. You see, the reason why it's legal to go to the grocery store today and buy ground beef, but it's not legal to go to the grocery store and buy ground human, is because society deems human life to be valuable. But what if society doesn't? What if it doesn't? Does human worth evaporate when I move my family to go live among the cannibalistic tribes in Fiji? Do black lives matter there? Or is it okay to cut them up into 1,000 pieces and roast them over a fire and have a feast? Because that's the opinion of the majority culture. If it's wrong to kill and eat a human in a cannibalistic society, upon what basis? Upon what basis? You see, for all its scoffing at objectivity, critical race theory is based upon sweeping objective claims. The claim Black Lives Matter, it's not coming to us in this way. It's not being presented as the cultural consensus that is open to change, and each society, you know, is free to take this statement and do with it what they want. They can embrace it or reject it because we're relativists. It doesn't come to us like that. It comes to us as universal objective truth. And you either accept it or you're dead. We need to ask, we have to ask this question: upon what basis? Upon what basis? You see, CRT writes checks that it cannot cash. By God's common grace, we live in a society that recognizes there is a difference between slaughtering a pig and slaughtering a human being. No one but a few extremists from PETA are going to hit the streets protesting because the local butcher shop shot a pig in the head. But you shoot a man in the head, and it's a different story. CRT can assert the worth of humans. But that's all it can do. It can't give us any meaningful reason as to why life matters. Why does human life matter? There's a reason why that assertion resonates with all people. It's because that assertion resonates with reality, with God's reality. But when you reject God, and you reject God's word, there is no way of substantiating that concrete claim in anything but a superficial way. Christianity provides the only basis for human worth. We see in our passage this morning that God created human beings, not alongside of the rest of the creation, but over and above it. Look at verse 28. God blessed man and woman, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." As God's image, we are created to be over the animals. We are created to rule over the world and to spread God's glory to the ends of the earth. Nothing in creation is more valuable than you and I. You see, God is supremely valuable. He's infinitely valuable. And there's only one thing in all of creation that God says, "This is my image." It's you. It's me. One thing. Psalm 8 puts it this way. Verse 5. "Yet you have made him, man, a little lower than God, and crowned him with glory and honor." That's why human life matters. You reject that, there's no reason. You're no different than a pig or a pile of dirt. This is the only grounds for asserting that life matters. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, please listen. Your life matters. It doesn't matter because I say it matters. It doesn't matter because mom and dad say it matters. It doesn't matter because a revolutionary nonprofit says it matters. It doesn't matter because society at large says it matters. It matters because God says it matters. He created you. And unlike dirt and unlike dogs, He created you as image. Image of God. That's the most fundamental reality about you. Not your skin color, not your GPA, not your boyfriend, not your bank account, not your occupation. Image of God. Here's the problem. In our sin, we reject God. And we treat fellow image bearers like trash, like garbage. It's the reason for racism. It's the reason for slavery. It's the reason for all forms of oppression. Our unjust defiance of God and our unjust mistreatment of His image, it warrants death. But hear this. God so values human beings He so values humans that he himself became a human. Jesus Christ, truly God and truly man, came to this earth to die the death that our sin deserves. That's how much God values humanity. Does human life matter? You better believe it does. And if you have any doubts, look to the cross. Only the God of creation and the God of the gospel can ground our innate sense. All of us have an innate sense that human life matters. And only the God of creation and the God of the gospel can provide the sufficient grounds for that. Do you see how the answer to the question, do black lives matter, is more complex than maybe first met the eye? We must reject the social construct of blackness because it is anti-reality. But we also must recognize that the assertion that human life matters has no basis upon which to stand in the anti-reality of critical theory. Human life matters, regardless of melanin production, because humans, unlike anything else, are the image of God. Listen to how John Stott put this. He said, being equally created by him and like him, we are equal in his sight in worth and dignity, and therefore have an equal right to respect and justice. Remember how we defined biblical social justice last week as the fair and impartial treatment of all people? Well, that idea, that kind of justice, can only stand when we embrace the truth that humans are fundamentally united as the image of God and fundamentally united in their need of Christ to restore that image by way of the cross and the empty tomb. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your self-revelation and your word. Oh God, we recognize the dead-end street that secularism is. We recognize, Lord, that the way of atheism leaves us at best being random blobs of highly evolved protoplasm. And Lord, we praise you that such is not the case. That it's not left to us to define ourselves. That we don't have to spend our lives on an anxious quest for meaning and value and acceptance. Because you have revealed the truth about us in your word, the truth that all people know innately. The truth that there is something significant about people. Unlike monkeys, unlike snakes, unlike fish, there's something monumentally significant about human beings. It's because, Lord, you have created us in your image. God, we pray that you would help us to grapple with this. We pray that you would open our eyes more and more to this reality that every person on this planet is, in this sense, as image of God, fundamentally united. We're all one human race, not a multiplicity of races. Oh God, give us clarity. Give us eyes to see. Give us understanding hearts. And cause the truths of your word not to be a means by which we are divided, but a means by which we are united. Lord Jesus, we think of your prayer on the eve of your death, that we would be united by the truth of your word. And we pray that that would be a reality even here this day, even here in these moments, that this truth of our creation by you and our creation as image of God would bring us together. And that you would help us, Lord, to share this with others in our community. So many walking around proclaiming the worth, the value, the dignity of fellow humans with no reason to back that claim whatsoever. Groundless claims. And we have the reason, Lord, and let us not keep it to ourselves. Oh God, open our lips and open doors for the gospel. There's such a great need, such great darkness, such confusion and moral chaos in our society. And we have the truth. We pray it would be unleashed, Lord, that you would be causing the Word of God, just like we've been seeing in Acts, to increase and to grow up in this community in Chattanooga, in the South Side, that we would have the joy, Lord, of seeing people come to faith, of seeing adult baptisms in this congregation, of seeing your church multiply, and seeing more and more people bow the knee to Jesus, who is the image of God, and our only hope of being restored perfectly into that image in knowledge and righteousness and holiness. Lord Jesus, restore us and restore more people. Draw more people to yourself. And do it even here this morning in this very place. Exalt yourself in our midst and cause every eye to see you and every heart to bow before you. It's in your name, Lord Jesus, that we pray these things. Amen.